Well, after all, it's 5 years to the day that my first wife, Consuela, went off on the last train west. It's hard business, that was. A little bit of mix in Consuela. Pretty as a doll. But she was kind of crazed. Too much tequila and not enough control. Got me riled once about my shooting, she did.
You sure you want to talk about that, Baron?
Why not?
Well, time's past. Not worth remembering, Baron. What happened 5 years back, well, it happened. Weren't nobody's fault.
Sure. But I've started telling it, so... I've been drinking, so... Of course, I don't hardly touch a bottle now. She pushed me. Kept damn pushing at me. She put a glass jug of red wine on her head and stood outside, just out that door. Dared me to shoot it off her head. Dared me.
One of the first things that Ryan had noticed about the Baron was that he didn't seem to sport a blaster. It wasn't unique in Ryan's experience, but it was unusual for the Baron of a frontierville like Taos.
I had an Astra 44 Magnum in those days. Good with it. Wasn't a Furman? Yeah, I was good with it. I sat here, and I drew down on her, on my wife. What happened, Furman? Tell the Outlanders. Tell Traitor.
You shot her, Baron.
I shot her. I squeezed the trigger of my good old Magnum. I could still feel the jolt and ran clear of my arm. I saw her fall. I saw Consuela go down in the dirt. She had on a long, white dress of cotton. She didn't raid for clothes like Sharona does. I stood up and walked to that door there and looked down at my wife. I thought it was the wine, the red all over. The glass was broken. You thought it was the wine, didn't you, Furman?
Wine like blood, Baron.
What? Was that you said about blood?
The wine looked like blood.
That's right. That's right. It did. She was kind of moving around like a gutted fish, jerking, bare feet in the sand. She pissed herself, I could see that. Then I seen the little black hole in the middle of her forehead. Little thing. Didn't look like that could have harmed a strong woman like Consuela. I knelt down, put that gun in the dirt, and never picked it up again. You destroyed it for me, didn't you, Furman?
Yeah, I did that, Baron.
There was a fly darting erratically around the council room, seemingly bemused by the darkness and the number of men. But everyone ignored it.
I lifted her and held her head in my hand. This right hand. And the back of her skull was like cornmeal mush. Her brains just spilled out into the palm of my hand.
As the fly flew past the sec boss, he moved with a deceptive, casual speed. He plucked the fly out of the air and crushed it. The movement broke the spell of the stillness. Baron Carson looked up.
Why, Cater, how may I help you?
By getting us the gas.
You got food and water?
Sure.
Furman?
Yeah, Baron?
Have the Outlanders been supplied with all of the ammo they wanted?
I don't much care for playing games, Carson. We got food, got water, got the ammo, and you got the jack for all of that. We don't have the gas, and time's wasting. You keep telling us it's coming. It don't come.
Ryan knew that Traitor was becoming seriously concerned, worried that Carson was getting some sort of plan into operation that might win him the invaluable war wags. Guards had been doubled, and every man and woman had been warned about keeping alert.
Why not go away and then get back here in a week, Traitor? Man sits on his ass too long, he suffers from piles. Go out hunting someplace. Where's that redoubt the Indians talk about? Isn't there, Ferryman?
Many Wolves Canyon?
Uh-huh. That's the one.
Redoubt? If it's there, then how come you haven't opened it up?
Baron Carson suddenly rose, smiling past the Traitor.
A fine good morning, Sharona. Come join us.
Ryan hadn't set an eye on her since their lovemaking. Today she wore an elegant dress and a soft green velvet that reached just below the knee. The black leather belt was fastened, with an ornate golden letter G. Her hair was loose and flowed down either side of her perfect heart-shaped face. She smiled at everyone in the room.
Did I hear someone talking about that old ghost fortress in the mountains?
That's right. I just asked the Baron how come you hadn't cleared it out if you know it's really there.
Sharona sat on a chair, offered for her by one of the armed guards.
Oh, I believe it's there. But it's in the Blood of Christ Mountains, stronghold of the Indians. Fairman here has a good map, don't you? You could let the trader have it.
Ryan looked sideways at the trader, seeing the gleam in his eyes, the set of his head, the squaring of his shoulders. The gas was almost forgotten. What mattered now was the chance to find and explore a new redoubt.
How far?
Still worried about the gas. Guess we can advance you a few gallons, can't we, Fairman? And I'm sure and certain that the shipment will be here very soon. Take 5 days' break. Do your people good to be on the road again. When you get back here, I'm positive the gasoline will be flowing like milk and honey in the land of Canaan.
Although he was certainly eager, the trader hadn't earned his reputation by sticking his head into a noose. As soon as they got back to Warwag 1, he sent Beulah Webb over to talk to Ferryman and check out the map showing the route to the supposed hidden redoubt in the Sangre de Cristo range. And Trader joined with JB and Ryan to discuss this unexpected new development in the game.
Think he's shitting us?
I don't see what he'd gain by it. The gas is coming or it isn't. Either way, why send us off in a fool's chase?
JB had taken off his glasses and was polishing them on a strip of cotton, holding them to the light and peering through them. He took his time before replying.
Only two things. Either the Baron's on the level, so we go check out the redoubt, come back and get the gas, or he's a misfire. No redoubt. Well, you're setting up some kind of ambush on us.
The trader lit one of the cigars he relished, offering one to the armorer, who shook his head.
Oh, it's about trust. We got men, and an overkill blaster capacity with the Wags. No way he'll front us out of them, though he's got some good weaponry and a strong will.
Beulah appeared, carrying a hand-drawn map. She saw that the three men were in conference and turned on her heel.
So far, there's been nothing to show he's a misfire. I figure the White Lion Hunt was for real. Never seen so much disappointment in a man. So, if we go off and find the redoubt, for better or worse, when we come back, we'll maybe trust him all the way. Maybe we will. Maybe.
And that'll be the time to be triple-guarded, traitor.
That's an ace on the line, Ryan.
A little after dawn on the following morning, Warwags 1 and 2 rumbled out through the gates of Talesville and rode steadily northeast toward the Sangre de Cristo. The rising sun had colored the jagged peaks, turning the patches of fresh snow into pools of crimson blood. They crossed the wooden bridge again, but this time the four-man patrol stood back and simply waved them by. The map showed a main highway to the north, with a cutoff east on a narrower road near an old settlement called Kesta. Beulah had found all that on her ancient Rand McNally road atlas and vacation guide. She pointed it out to Ryan.
See? Red River ski area, up this little red line.
There was no point in showing the trader, who found reading and writing about as easy as juggling a handful of eggs. Ryan looked at the scuffed, faded print, angling it to catch the morning sunlight that came in through the open roof obslit. His eyes suddenly widened, and he pointed to an area of the map labeled with pale green lettering.
Hey, look at this.
Carson National Forest. Yeah, one of the national recreational areas. Oh, Land of Goshen, named after the Baron of Taos himself.
But that map's a century old. How can it be named after Alias Carson? He wasn't even born.
It was Peachy who supplied the answer. His collection of comics covered all kinds of superheroes, but he also had a small number of fragile Western mags.
Kit Carson, real famous cowboy and Indian fighter, mainly around these parts. More than likely that forest was named after him.
Ryan felt vaguely disappointed at such a mundane explanation. For the first few miles, it was obvious that the two-lane blacktop had been well-traveled, but gradually the going got tougher. The saturation use of missiles by all the countries involved in the brief but terminal Third World War had caused devastation far beyond anything that the military tacticians and logistical experts had ever predicted. Even in the worst of the worst scenario, There'd been forecasts of some kind of eventual rebuilding of society through minimum levels of survival. But nobody had taken into account the way that the land itself would react to the total assault. Hundreds of thousands of square miles of what had been the United States of America